Hey, you're looking tidy tonight.
Oh, thank you. I've got my fleece blanket here to keep me warm and.
Oh, I love that. Look at that. Wow, that's beautiful. Did you make that, or what's the story on that?
Well, the story is a friend gave it to me, and my golden retriever puppy can't tell the difference between a fleece blanket and stuffed toys, and she took a bite out of it. And I apologize to everybody this evening. If you hear her whining in the background, she's not very happy about being banished to the other room. So, it's the life of a puppy. What can you say?
We've had a lot of animals on this show walking in the background. Sometimes they get them up in the camera. So, if you want the little doggy to run around, that's fine with us here. But, hey, did you ever get your driveway shovel? I mean, you had some snow over there.
Oh, yeah, we have snow. It's Montana, yes, I did get snow plowed out. But, of course, there's more snow now, and it's snowing right this minute. So, it's just wintertime in the Rocky Mountains. It's wonderful. I love it.
Well, you're talking about weather right there. I guess that's not global warming. But, Celeste, now, over there in Australia, of course, they've got raging fires going on. Headline in USA Today said, climate change, of course, and that obviously meant that Trump's causing it because he got out of the climate change, the Paris Climate Accord. But at the same time, Celeste, they've arrested 24 people for setting fires and have 185 others that are persons of interest. So is it climate change, or are there people down there setting things on fire?
It's a combination of many different things. Actually, some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight play a factor, because this grand solar minimum that we're in, Australia gets the worst. They get the brunt of it. So it's going to be very hot and very dry for the next several years. And of course, there's people that want to set fires and get the notoriety for that. They're willing to be arrested for that. And there's a lot of, it's been hijacked for the climate change issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Greta Thunberg finds out people set fire instead of climate change, she's going to be a little upset. Nobody wants that girl upset, man. Children of the corn that she is, she might put a spell on somebody.
They actually have a Australian Greta down there. I don't know her name, but she's down there shaming all the politicians that they are stealing her youth. It's all their fault, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's the same thing that we've been hearing.
Mm. That being said, the Earth has no shortage of cataclysmic doomgasms that have occurred and that are getting ready to occur. And I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'm a man of peace, okay? But I'm watching Ancient Aliens and that Giorgio Tertullio, man. I mean, if you look at a rock that you got out of your garden, extraterrestrial rock. Or, you got a straw, you're drinking out of a straw. Extraterrestrial technology developed that straw. I mean, that's what it does. And then, but here's what made me mad. I'm about ready to throw something at TV. They go, the aliens came down because when they had created man, one of their DNA sequences went bad. And so they wanted to wipe out their development of man through a giant flood so they could bring another DNA sample down to redevelop man into what they originally intended. Is that possible?
Well, I haven't heard that one. I have not heard that one.
Okay. It was the aliens that flooded the Earth. We got. I'm thinking, man, come on now, stop that. But I tell you what, I do want one of Giorgio Tullio's little pins. He got like a little spaceship pin he always wears. But anyway, so have you found anything in the Bible that indicates future cataclysmic events are going to occur?
Absolutely. We're going to dive into it. Should we, go slowly into the water, or should we dive into the end of the pool? You want to dive into the end of the pool? All right, so I've got some stuff for you here. Hold on. So the Bible is all about cataclysm. And so right now, I'm pretty sure that your listeners are not aware that we're in the middle of a galactic electric sheet.
Wow.
That ripples from the center of the galaxy. And basically, Earth spends about 1 to 6 hours every 2 weeks in that electric sheet. Now, Saturn and Uranus spend twice as long as the Earth does. And then scale that up 71 years. So that's 71 years every 12,000 years. And so there's a big convergence of things going on right now, from biblical to governmental to the rise and fall of civilizations to economic, is all pointing to this 12,000-year cycle. There are other cycles. I mean, just like we have the day, we have the week, we have the year, there's more cycles. There's the 11-year solar cycle. And then we go on from there out to the grand processional cycles. So anyway, there's this electric from the center of the galaxy. It sent out this big electric current, and it's rippling. It's kind of like the waves at the beach. And it hit two stars, Centauri and Bernard Star. And then it started to move into our neck of the woods, our solar system, and each planet is responding to this. Well, even Earth. So our magnetosphere is going down. The sun has gone really quiet. So when that, nobody knows the exact mechanisms. Ancient man may have known more than we know today. So that might cause our sun to, like, solar flare, which could take out the grid. It could do a lot worse. So hold on. I'm going to get there. So before we dive into the first bit of Genesis, which is the cataclysmic chapter of the Bible, I just want you to know that for the listeners, that the year 2020, this year, ta-da! Happy New Year, everybody. We are at the midpoint of the 70th Jubilee on an integrated biblical calendar. So the Bible basically has four calendars, and that's what has tripped people up that have forecasted different things in the past, because they did not realize that there were actually four different calendar systems that went together. So in 2030, it's the 2000th anniversary of the resurrection. Now, you got to keep all this in mind. And then the close of the 70th week that is spoken of in Daniel occurs in 2045. Now, if you see all the government agency, corporate, the AI's crowd, everybody, like the next, between now and 2050, whether it's in the heavens or on Earth, it's all converging for a big showdown, you might say. You're the cosmic cowboy. So around 2030, the UVA and the UVB, those are your ultraviolet rays that, I mean, it not only burns people's skin and gives them skin cancer, but plants have already begun to feel the effect. And I've noticed over the last two summers, burnt plants, and maybe your listeners have also. We expect that around 2022, the grid is going to fail. And I just want to put this into context. Hold on. So right now we're at in a solar minimum, which means there's no sunspots on the sun, or few. I mean, the sun is starting to come to life. There was some debate at the end of last year. Is it going to stay quiet? That has its problems because people have health problems from that. Or is it going to start getting active? And as soon as we hit 2020, it started to come to life. Different people have called that this is solar cycle 25, and they are expecting that by 2025, that will be the solar maximum. And it's kind of like the stock market. So it right now we're low, and then it's going to go up. But we're kind of incrementally going down to a grand solar minimum. So every time it's going to be a little bit quieter, which means more devastation, more cataclysm. The magnetosphere is failing. It's starting to go down. I think we're about 70 or 75% right now. It could go down to zero. And that is our protection against all the solar things that come, whether it's cosmic rays, flares, whatever, asteroids, whatever. And so then the grand solar minimum, which is the low of the low, which they're even talking ice age. And the first time I heard this, I got to tell you. So I'm taking this Bible class and I'm watering my tomatoes in my greenhouse, and I'm just watering away. And the teacher, we were studying Psalm 145, and he talked about a time coming very soon that one day it would be like ice, the whole earth would be ice, and the next day it would be searing heat, and there'd be like floods and all this stuff. And I like, that was the first time, that was my wake-up moment to just how much God has his hand on the weather, and that I needed to learn about it. But it was like, well, I mean, I can see this gradual decline, but I don't see this like rapid cold and heat. But we are starting to see that now. For the last 2 years, and especially this winter, people are going to see like 70 degrees, and 50 miles away, it's going to be minus 75. And when those two systems, last night there was a huge electrical down in the south. I guess it was the biggest electrical show. They caught it on satellite. It was quite amazing. The listeners could go to Suspicious Observers Today's and look at that. It was really incredible. And we're going to be having some cosmic lightning. So it's not only going to come from the earth and our weather, it's going to come from space. So anyway, I'm just setting the stage. If you're going to do this, you got to set the stage. So now we're just moseying on to, I wanted to get into all this, but I guess we'll just hit. Now, I can't take credit for this. This is Bernard E. Northrup. Okay. He's got a theological doctorate, and it's called The Five Biblical Catastrophe Harmonizational, and then my paste, it went off the page. So I can't read it.
I know how that goes.
Anyway, so in Genesis 1:1, God completes creation, the heavens and the earth, and he likens that to the Azoic era, and this is the creation of the universe, and the earth cannot be included within the six solar days. Genesis 20:11 actually says 6 days the eternal Lord worked upon the heavens and the earth in Hebrew. This is the only place where the earth is created. Therefore, it must also be a time of creation in the universe. And so then we're going to go up to Genesis 1:2. And there's also a cross-reference for Job 38:5-9 and Psalm 104:5-6. The first universal flood and darkness. And that he calls the Archaeozoic era, or the geological catastrophe number one, the universal pre-Adamic flood that burst forth out of the crust of the earth, universally covered the newly created earth, deposited strata without fossils, and there was no prior creation or life forms on the earth apart from the angelic hosts. And in Job, and the psalmist say that this psalm clearly chronologically considers the successive events found in Genesis chapter 1. And then we're going to go to Genesis 1, 3 through 31. It's six literal solar days of creation, and God raised a single continent out of the sea, which most of the listeners are familiar with, and he calls it the protozoic or geological catastrophe number two. On the third solar day, after gradual elevation of the canopy, which is the firmament, to where the solar days were observable to the divine author, the Creator abruptly elevated a single continent out of the sea. Note, he says, and let the waters under the heavens be gathered unto one place. The runoff from the continental deposits in the continental is derived from the protozoic around the edge. So, we're halfway there. I don't even know if I can get the last one because I cut it off. It's Genesis 7 through 9, the second universal flood and its slow retreat in Noah's day, Paleozoic era, and that's geological catastrophe 3. The flood began in the ocean bottoms in the Cambrian deposits. The signs of the shoreline encroachment in the Ordovician and Silurian flood stabilization in the Mississippi, but the initial retreat signs in the upper Mississippi. The wind and tidal oscillations of Genesis 8, 1 through 3 continue well into the Mesozoic deposits until obliterated by a plate movement tsunami, and slow retreat is suggested in Genesis 11, 2. And then we're going to go, we got one more that I could, whoops, I went too far here. Genesis 10 and 11, 1 through 9, there's Babel and the division of the continents beginning two and three generations later, and that's the Mesozoic era, and he labels that geological catastrophe 4. The major characteristic deposits are a series of wind and tidal wave deposits. These result from a long retreat. The wind and the shoreline oscillations of Genesis 8, 1 through 5, five generations after the Noahic flood, God contemplated that, or complemented, or God complemented that, but done by, that doesn't make sense. Why would he complement Babel? But anyway, he divided
NIV,
the continent.
NIV version.
Further, must be a typo, and I can't call the kettle black myself, further separating migrating and fallen man on moving plates, and the plate movement produced the great dystropion that occurred in the Mesozoic time. Genesis 8 or 11, 18 to 23 names suggest catastrophism. And then there was one, like I said, I cut it off, and it was actually quite interesting, but I cut it off, and it talks about the Ice Age. Hmm. So that kind of gives you an idea. So like right in the very beginning, you've got cataclysm forming the earth. And when you, you got me in a lie. So you've got cataclysm right out at the gate. And really, if we think about it, so right now there's a spiritual battle. Do you mind if I go down this rabbit trail?
Mm-hmm. You know, I call cataclysmic events doomgasms.
You want just doom and gloom.
Well, okay. Because that's what it is. It does bring doom. But let me ask you something before you go on there, Celeste. Now,
okay.
So obviously God created a worldwide flood, and
yes.
then Jesus walked out on the water and calmed the storm. So it
right.
seems that not only can those are meteorological events, and is it that because Satan always wants to have a copy of the power or deeds that God does, that they've created this heart technology to control the weather? And I think you mentioned earlier, in the opening, that maybe in the past civilizations had the technology to understand various methodologies to control weather. And if they had that knowledge, where did they get it?
So the Jewish legends, and of course there's other legends too. It's not just Jewish. You know, you've got your Sumerian and your Akkadian and different legends, but I'm more familiar with the biblical, is that one of the reasons that God allowed man to live so long was that he wanted him to observe the stars. This is legend. It's not in the Bible. It's just something that was passed down century after century, and it makes sense. Now, of course, we know about the fallen angels, and so they would have been, they had a lot of information, a lot of technology, a lot of God's inner workings, that when they rebelled and came down to earth, they brought it. And so that's how some of these ancient pagan civilizations could have got that type of technology.
Mm-hmm.
They also recorded in their hieroglyphs and different writings that they observed these cataclysms. It's amazing. We live in this, like the last 2 years, there's civilizations that have been buried that no one's ever seen. It's almost like one a day. I even put it in my daily briefing, you know, a new one, just so that we can keep up on it. And they're showing that these ancient civilizations watched the stars, watched the cataclysms, and were very aware of the catastrophe, especially this 12,000-year catastrophe cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Just this morning, I was listening to something, and someone on YouTube had gone down to the desert Southwest, and I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the Egyptian caves and artifacts that were found in the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. There is a lot in the Indian. There is a lot of Syro-Mesopotamian, not only architecture, but their language. It's amazing. Their language survived in their petroglyphs and their hieroglyphs mm-hmm. that are here.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, back to catastrophe. You want catastrophe. So I'm going to give you a timeline here.
Okay.
So at the creation of the solar system and the Earth, as we mentioned, you know, it was a catastrophe. That was 4,000 BC. The antediluvian world was kind of quiet. That was from 4,000 to 2350 BC. Then, of course, we know that Noah's flood was a catastrophe. The windows of heaven opened, the fountains of the deep. I believe that that it was also a period where the magnetosphere went low, and that there may have even been a crustal displacement. Velikovsky believed that there was like a Martian flyby that like was ripping our planet apart with the interaction. You can imagine how terrifying that would be with the lightning strikes and that type of thing. So that was at 2350 BC. Then there you've got the Paleolithic to the Iron Age. That was also a catastrophic era, and that goes from 2350 to 700 BC. Then you've got the empires, the monarchs, and the democratic era. That was kind of a quiet period. That goes from 700 BC to the present. We really have had it fairly quiet. Our planet has been habitable and all of that, but that is not the nature of our planet. The nature of our planet, yes, is Snowball Earth. Yes, it is. So then you go to the great day of the Lord, and that's going to be a mega catastrophe. Any time from now till, you know, whenever we're going to be seeing these things, then there's going to be the millennial kingdom. That is also going to be a catastrophic era. That's between, let's say, 2000 to 3000, just for argument's sake. We know that it's not fixed. And then the New Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth and the future world, we're not going to put a date on that. So here's some catastrophes. So the Noah's Flood, 2350 BC. There was Peleg's division of the earth in 2248 BC. The Tower of Babel, and the founding of Sodom and Gomorrah was in 2008 BC. Isn't that interesting? The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the Vale of Sodom was in 1957 BC. And scientists right now, these are secular scientists, are calling, this is very interesting, I just went to a briefing today, and so these are secular scientists, and they are referring to this 12,000-year cycle that I mentioned as being a Sodom and Gomorrah cycle. Ooh. And that we're entering into that 12,000 period right now because we are in the modern Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, these are secular scientists talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. So then, actually, you know, one of the oldest books in the Bible, Job, it is the oldest book in the Bible. 1663 BC, there were catastrophes, and then, you know, God had that, you know, conversations, mighty conversations, like, where were you when the stars? And I mean, those are very important conversations for us to pay attention to for this catastrophe cycle.
Well, I don't think anybody would argue that we're in some sort of Sodom and Gomorrah cycle right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, man, all you got to do is look out there in Hollywood or San Francisco. But we do got a lot of people watching, so we got to take a few questions right now. Can you take a break?
Okay, that's fine. Great.
All right, let's go to the question segment part of it. Put Yahweh First says, what's your take on the asteroid Apophis? I've never heard of it, so I don't know.
I'm not as familiar with that particular one as I am with Bennu. Bennu is the one I've been keeping an eye on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't have anything to say on it.
All right, let's go to the next one. This is from Azur. Is the current solar cycle responsible for the off-the-charts earthquakes we are experiencing right now?
In part, because our magnetosphere is decreasing, and it has been decreasing for 200 years, but now it's kind of like a snowball. It's slow in the beginning, and yes, you've got an earthquake going there. I'm getting dizzy here.
I think it's done. I think it's over now.
Oh, good. Okay. But you got to watch out for those aftershocks.
I thought we were getting God's wrath over here, but go ahead.
Yeah, so
I'm a little bit distracting sometimes, aren't I, Celeste?
No, it's fine. Okay. It's fine. I'm just trying to put a lot of thoughts in my head and get them out of my mouth, which isn't always the easiest. So it's the magnetosphere. It's also the sun is when the sol- there's when the phi angle. You guys are going to have to check your space weather so you'll learn. And I've been putting it in my daily briefings. kind of walking you through how to check these things in space weather, because the space weather actually influences the Earth, and then we get the earthquakes. And they can actually tell when earthquakes are going to happen now by these blot echoes and looking at the space weather, and it's pretty reliable science. Every once in a while they mess up, but this last one in Puerto Rico, they predicted it several days before it happened. So another thing you have to pay attention to is the planetary alignment. So that plays a factor into it also.
Okay, let's get into this question here. Doreen says, what's going on with the earthquakes in Puerto Rico? I don't know about either.
They had one, and it was predicted. We knew that it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, with the Earth, we have to have a certain amount of Richter 7 and Richter 6 earthquakes to relieve the tension in the plates. If we don't have that, then the danger is we're going to get bigger quakes. And at the end of last year, we were going like 8 weeks, 12 weeks in what they call an earthquake drought. And when that happens, then you know that, you know, big ones are coming down the pike, very devastating ones. So it's better to have a lot of little quakes, sixes, you know, to relieve that tension, than to go in these drought like we were doing last fall.
Mm. All right. Got a bunch more in there. We'll get a few more, then we'll get back to whatever else we're doing there. All right. Paul asked the question. I got a pointer on. Okay. Is the magnetic field going to flip?
So it is very likely. Nobody knows. In the old days, they didn't think that the poles did flip, and that's because it would flip and then it would flip right back, and so it would go right to the same spot. This time it doesn't look like it's going to do that. The magnetic poles were in the middle of a magnetic excursion, and there was just the world magnetic model was just released on December 10th, and it showed just how much the Earth or the pole, the magnetic pole was wandering. And okay, just for the listeners' clarification, the magnetic pole is different than the North and South Pole. Those stay fixed. They don't move. I'm talking about the magnetic pole. Like if you got a compass out, you know, which way is north? That's what I'm talking about. And that is the reason that they had to collect the data on the movement, this excursion, because people, it affects airlines, shipping, drilling companies, that type of thing. GPS, it all has to be corrected for this magnetic excursion. And what's going to happen, and it may happen in our lifetime, is that the magnetic north and south are going to meet in a very unusual position in the Devil's Triangle, which is over in Indonesia, which is similar to the Bermuda Triangle in the Caribbean, but it's much more of a hot spot. So it's the magnetic poles are heading that way right now, and that's where they're supposed to meet up, probably before 2050.
Well, according to the climate hoaxers, we've only got to 2032, 12 years before it all breaks down. And I would think, Celeste, their timetable is probably off.
Well, you know, since I was in high school, you know, when I was in high school, it was the ice age is coming, which that actually probably was the right one. And they said, oh, we got 10 years till the ice age. And then in the 80s and 90s, there was this big global warming. the same thing happened during the Rome, when Rome was, you know, a big conquering and they were going all over everywhere just doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Because it was warm and they were able to do it. But when it started to cool off, that's when the Roman Empire fell, mm-hmm. actually.
All right. All right, we have this question from Matthew. He clicked on the guest question link at the top of our menu on our website. So, Celeste, any thoughts about the possible fire cataclysm that happened after Noah's flood? Is there a possible cover-up? The super fire burned evidence, too, as well. There has been evidence of burn marks on some historic structures. And I would add to that, there's, as I learned from Ancient Aliens, areas where it appears that a nuclear blast had happened in Earth's past, and they know that because structures have been or sand has been turned to glass, which usually happens during a nuclear exchange.
Yeah, that's actually that cosmic lightning that I was talking to you about, and that is so the fire that they're talking about is the black mat. There's black mat evidence, and that's at that 12,000 year cycle when the earth was cold and then it went hot for a little bit, then it went back to cold, and then it started to moderate out, and that's when there were fires all over the earth. And yes, there is evidence of that. The glass is more of an indicator. There's actually some right at the hind end of the Sphinx. Robert Schock does a lot of work on that. If you want to follow that, it's very interesting what he does. It's the same glass beads are in the sand at the hind end of the Sphinx. And I think he's, if I'm not mistaken, he recently said that the Sphinx hind end actually got hit by one of these cosmic lightning bolts. Mm-hmm. But there were also some cosmic lightning bolts, and the astronauts found all these glass beads on the moon, and they brought some back. Mm. So it's the exact same configuration.
Well, you know, being a cosmic cowboy, I'm all about cosmic lightning strikes. A question from the live chat. Celeste, do you see divine intervention coming for any of these cataclysmic events and or doomgasms?
Could you repeat the question?
Do you see any divine intervention from God to intercede on man's behalf from some of these events that are going to happen?
I actually believe that this is at the hand of God, that he set the laws of nature. He set these cycles. If you're interested in this, Andrew Gabriel Roth has a book called The Wheel of Stars. It goes into the calendar and it talks about the different cycles, but it's very evident that God is at the helm of this whole cyclical process that we're going through.
Okay. Put y'all away first. What's your take on wormwood?
Wormwood? Well, it's going to come, that's for sure, because it's written in the Word, you know. It will probably turn the waters bitter, and I'm not looking forward to it. There will probably be some, you know, most planets and stuff have an interaction where you're going to get this lightning, the discharge events, and so I think it's going to be a lot worse than the Bible. I think the Bible just talks about the broad strokes. It doesn't give us all the nitty gritty details of what it's going to be like living through that.
Mm-hmm. Carol asked, says, Celeste, where do you normally get your information about sharing about these cataclysms?
Where do I get my information?
I believe that's the question.
So I get my information. I look to make sure that it's in the Bible, and that's been a mind bender for me. But I also am involved with groups of scientists. I am an active person in that community, and I go to briefings every week. I look at scientific journals, academic peer studies, and I do my due diligence and my homework.
Wow, indeed you do, because we can hear for some of the facts you're using. Anita has a basic question. Do you have a favorite Bible version?
I like the original. I like the Hebrew and Aramaic, and there is actually an Aramaic English New Testament, and that's very good. And so that's what I use. But other than that, it's King James. So. Okay.
Alrighty. That's sure to rouse some people up right there. Anytime you say whatever version, who has ever used another version, I'm going to get email. This is the right version. All right. So here we go. Will there be an ascension cycle?
Could that person rewrite and say what an ascension cycle is?
Yeah. I know that the angels ascending and descending on a ladder at one point. But what about this? It says that this, the prophecy of the waves and the seas foaming and raging and the earth moving to and fro like a drunkard. Is this all part of that?
That's part of the magnetosphere. Talk about crazy stuff. So I put this in the I can't believe it section. Every once in a while I have to do that because those some people just, they said there's too many people on the earth and that's why it's going to cause to wobble. So we have to get rid of some people because it's causing the earth to wobble. I kid you not. This was like in the last 2 weeks. I can't believe it.
Wow. Yeah. That reminds me of a guy, a congressman, I think his name is Johnson, and he said that Guam was going to tip over if too many people went on one side. That guy's in Congress. That's the mentality of people that's in our Congress, you know, besides the AOC nutbags over there. All right, Ben Atkinson, does Australia have a key role in human survival? Are we, assuming he's down there, I guess, are we destined to be the sole remaining continent?
Is Australia going to be the sole continent?
Well, Ben apparently is hoping so. Ben, if it is, I'm coming down there, bud.
I think they're going to have some really tough times for a little while with those magnetic poles moving in the right off their coast. So I don't know that it's necessarily going to be the safest place. I do consults around the world, and quite frankly, every place is going to have its blessings and its challenges. Yeah. And wherever God has placed you, you can bloom, and you know that area better than anybody else. You know the people, you know the landscape, you know where to get water, you know where to get food.
Well, I see in the live chat, Anita, are you saying that Florida is the safe place? And I've heard forever that it's supposed to be the Ozarks. That's the safe place. Everybody's got their safe place, you know. I mean, you know, you got Steve Quell. Now he's up there. What, he's in Utah?
No, you know, Montana.
I think it's a heck of a lot safer than Indiana, man. We're like right next to some kind of giant fault line, man. So, you know, I don't know about that. Besides that, Celeste, I've seen maps when the United States splits apart and the water comes up, man. It's like Indianapolis, man. We're gonna be underwater over here. But now you're way up high in the mountains, so you're way up there too. So that sounds like a safe place up there.
So have you heard about the Adam and Eve story?
No, this would be great. Tell us about it.
Okay, so the Adam and Eve story was written by Chan Thomas. So the government was aware of these cyclical events, and they classified the Adam and Eve, his book, because it was talking about a crustal displacement and all the chaos and everything that was going to happen that we are entering into right now. And so they classified it so nobody knew that it existed. I knew some things because my dad worked for naval warfare, and so we had many very interesting people come to our home. So I was kind of aware, although I was unaware of Chan Thomas's book because, of course, my dad couldn't talk about classified information with his kids. But in that, they just declassified it about 2 years ago. About 2 years ago. And so there is a place that you can obtain a copy of it Suspect Sky on, I don't know if it's com or I think it would probably be suspectsky.com. And you can get a PDF or listen to an audio book of it. And that talks about the coming cataclysm. I mean, he talks about the dinosaurs. He talks about the mind control. He talks about everything. I mean, it's a very interesting read. It's not long, but I tell you afterwards, you're just almost shaken because, I mean, he tells it exactly like it's going to be.
Hmm. All right. Here we go. Was the moon possibly formed by an asteroid strike? Some people claim that something hit the Earth and it big chunk of it blew out.
Can I go back to the other one? I didn't answer your question. So before I move on, so my husband and I got an off-grid place in Montana, and it was on top of in the mountain. When we got up there, the reason I told you about the Adam and Eve story is it was all CIA. It was a CIA refuge for when this cataclysm was going to happen. And there were actually CIA up there. So we did move off the mountain. So I do know you want to be on the leeward side of the mountains. The Rocky Mountains are very safe because you're going to have like 1,000-foot wall of water coming from the west, moving to the east. It will go over us. Like I'm in the middle of two mountain ranges. It will go over me and then kind of splash over onto the other side and continue and take out a lot of the Midwest and the East. And then, like you said, there's the fracture of the United States. It's
all right.
Pretty cataclysmic.
All right, yeah. We're doomed. We're doomed in the Midwest. We're doomed anyway. All right, now... We haven't really got too controversial, but is the Earth flat?
I don't do flat Earth.
Okay, that was a question that came in. It wasn't for
me. I'm just saying I don't do flat Earth. I see it as round. But
that'd be a risky question to answer right there. All right, let's see what about this here. Aboriginal elders, I must be talking about Australia, speak of a massive tidal wave that will submerge the east coast of Australia, then turn our dry out back into flourishing oasis of vibrant life. Is this part of the crustal displacement?
Absolutely. Yep. There will be places like there is this, it's in the bedroom. I have this ancient maps, and they were amazed because like, the Antarctica had all sorts of plants and animals, rare species. Australia was verdant and green. And of course they have a very unique animal population there. So yes, and it does come from the east. Well, I don't know when everything's backwards, you know, when you go to the southern hemisphere. So in Jan Thomas's, it goes from the west, so it would be west. Looking at Australia, it would come from the west and go east.
Okay, well, this is an interesting question here. And I'm assuming this the writer here, Ben Atkinson, are you in Australia? If not, it's kind of general question. Celeste, I've been reading it. Two quandaries about Australia. I read that they're going to shoot, I don't know, 10,000 camels. Because of their they can't get any water, and then I thought, I didn't even know Australia had camels. I thought they just had them hopping things. You know, what are those things called?
Kangaroos and wallabies.
How do you like my? Does that look like kangaroo?
Well, it kind of looks like a rabbit, but I don't know. Sorry.
Well, that's my best kangaroo impression, man. But are there camels down there?
I haven't heard about camels, but okay. It would not surprise me.
Well, I heard there's hundreds of thousands of animals going to be killed because of that fire. Really, that's very depressing to me. I mean, the whole island is surrounded by water. Why can't they get water to the animals?
Well, so there's regulations. The green people are alive and well in Australia, And there are things that they can and cannot do because to save like one species or another. But there's another insidious invader down there that's about to seize their water, and that's China. China is buying up ports. They're buying up the land. There's places in Australia now that are no longer Australia. They are like Chinatown. They're like little wow. mini Chinatowns.
Wow, and I guess they got enough of the United States money to do that, with stealing our secrets all the time. Who's a bigger enemy of the United States, China or the Middle East?
I think the United States is going to have a lot of enemies. You know, we're not the mm-hmm. Holy Land, mm-hmm. so or like Israel, but we're going to have enemies everywhere.
Are you aware of the what they call the George Washington prophecy? Supposedly, it was written first in 1850 in the Stars and Stripes, where he said he was in a tent and an angel appeared to him and said that the United States in the future would be covered with towns and cities across the continent, and then a big black cloud would come across the oceans and nearly destroy the United States. Have you ever read that prophecy?
I heard about it long ago, but I guess
I was just wondering who that was in that big cloud coming over here. Was it your Ayatollahs, or was it the Chinese, or was it the Russians? Ain't nobody seemed to know. All right. There have been a noticeable mass deaths of species worldwide, and in fact, let me ask you about this, Celeste. I just read the other day that I thought it was in Ohio somewhere close here in the Midwest, that bunches of birds just fell out of the sky, and that's not the first time. It's been happening quite a bit, and species in the whale deaths or fish of a certain kind. They seem to be of a certain kind. Just all of a sudden, masses of them end up dead. Do you know what's causing that?
It could very well be. So when the magnetosphere diminishes or collapses, as I say, it allows cosmic rays in. That can do several things. It can mutate your DNA, or it could mutate a bird's DNA. Or it can take a healthy young man or woman and kill them deader than a hammer from a heart attack, a stroke, or whatever. And I believe that is what is happening with the birds and different animals. We're seeing different mutations. About two or three years before David died, I had a little goat. And she had triplets, and I had there she is. And I took her to the vet because she had to have a C-section because she had a prolapse. And he goes, I think she's got two. And I said, yeah, I think she probably does. So I only heard two little cries. And I get her home and settled. And, of course, then you have to bottle feed them because they haven't nursed from their mom. But I went down for bottle feeding time. And lo and behold, there was this dead 7-pound kid. Now, how did that happen? She had had a C-section. And there were two vets in attendance, right? So it gets stranger than that. Then I go down for the next feeding, which was about 4 hours later. There was a wet kid, and she had a prolapse, the vet had sewed everything back in. You know, it was sewed shut. And there was this live 7-pound little kid screaming, and the rest of the kids were in the warming hut. I have a little hut teepee mm-hmm. for them, and they have a heat lamp. And so I cornered the vet. He wanted to avoid me like the plague because he didn't have any answers how he could be in a uterus and do a C-section and have 14 pounds of kids just delivered, the next day. And so he said, I think I saw it once 30 years ago in a cow where one calf somehow developed in the wall of the uterus. But this was impossible because there were two vets in her uterus. This was a small goat. And how did 14 pounds, I mean, this was some, she had to have had another uterus, maybe two uteruses. I don't know. And we are going to see more and more of this. Mm. I hate to say it.
Well, in the movie Alien Abduction, one of my favorite Netflix movies, they show a bird strike in there. The people riding in the mountains, all of a sudden birds just start falling out of the sky. However, that bird mass death was because they had entered into the magnetic field that was suspending a UFO. And they hit that and they all dropped dead. So is it within the realm of possibility some of these bird strikes could be actually hitting cloaked motherships?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when I did an interview with Aussie Watcher down in Australia, and I came to find out as I was preparing for the show that the United States has sent all this sophisticated jets and drones with cloaking devices. With bombs capability, their its own electromagnetic fields, all this weird stuff. Now, why would you send sophisticated equipment that really hadn't even been seen in the United States to the Australian fires? And what are they going to do? I mean, so when we looked into it even further, there's something called Geomancer that has been deployed, and wow, it is very possible that there is some mapping going on that is demonic, that and is associated with cursing. Let's just put it that way.
Well, interesting you said mapping going on. Are you familiar with the drones that appear to be mapping? Is that Colorado?
Yes, I do believe. So when I study DARPA, and I keep up on DARPA quite a bit, go quite frequently. I'm a frequent flyer. Mm. And so I started, they've been talking for a long time about swarms. Well, these are swarms of drones that are deployed for mapping purposes. Now, you got to understand that everything has dual purpose usage these days. It can be used for good, and there's also a dark side in everything. I don't care what it is at this point. So
wow. All right, Jasper, question. What do you think about the old Atlantis story? Are we going to? Is it on this side of the continent of the world in our continental area, or is it over there in Europe?
I think it's over in the Mediterranean myself. That's just my own opinion. Of course, nobody's found it, mm-hmm. but I do believe that it was from one of these cataclysmic events.
I thought they were going to try to say that Bimini Road over here was leading down into Atlantis there in the Bermuda Triangle, but I don't know.
Well, you know, there were our civilizations that were advanced all around the world, and they're starting to come to surface. There's some that are coming out of the sand. There's seas that are changing, and now, you know, some places are drying up, and I think they found one in China, this mm-hmm. whole advanced civilization.
Assuming there's that, of course there was evidence of a cataclysmic flood, and certainly these gigantic megaliths of the 10, 20, 100, 200, 300 tons are still there. But if we're talking about advanced technology, it seems that whatever the technology was to build these structures and to live, maybe they had portholes and various things, stargates, who knows what. Of course, it'd be swept out. But eventually, wouldn't you think that wherever it swept it out to, that eventually we would hit that and find those?
So that's the type of things that my dad was involved with. Oh. So, I mean, I was sitting at different archaeological professional that worked for the Navy warfare. And he talked about the computers and batteries and different things that they were finding.
Wow.
And that was back in 1960.
Hmm. Doreen wants to know, do you think wormwood will ever be visible to the naked eye?
Yes.
Now, that thing's got to be coming into focus here pretty soon, shouldn't it?
You know, it's got, it actually, I did this really long article, and I was going to be doing an interview, but it had to get bumped. Oh. And it's on dust in our atmosphere, and dust and gas are called the trickster. They can hide everything from a galaxy to Planet X to wormwood to an asteroid. So it presents a real problem for us as we look into the heavens. We can only see so much.
Mm-hmm. Hey, now, are you going to be at the next upcoming Branson conference?
I am.
Oh, look at that. 3,000 people going to hear what you have to say.
Yep.
Doesn't scare you at all?
Nope.
Well, hey, if coming on it, you're no scared of a lady there in the mountains there, because you're on this program, so you're not that, you can't be scared if you come on this show.
Yeah, that's true. That's
but,
true.
What are you going to talk about in Branson?
So basically, I am going to talk about these cycles and the pattern that God has given us, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's hard to keep it. It's hard to keep, because I'm used to getting information out. I'm trained in being a public information officer and managing incidents and all that type of thing. And so for me to keep quiet is very difficult.
Oh, you are a talker.
Yeah.
Well, you can't let the cat out of the bag. It's going to be very exciting to see you there, Celeste. And I'm very proud to know that you're going to be one of their speakers there. It's going to be completely different from the previous topics that they've had, but certainly what's coming up is very important. It's along the lines of what we've been discussing tonight about upcoming scenarios. Of course, Steve Quayle's been talking about various cataclysmic events that could happen or in the development process too. So it's good for one to educate oneself on these matters. Now, a couple times I put your book in our background. What is in that book?
So that particular book I wrote in July, and the Holy Spirit said to write it. And it is, I knew this cosmic ray situation was going to get very intense, that it had the potential to mutate our DNA and also kill us. And so I have a background in medicine also. And so I used that background and I wrote this book explaining what are cosmic rays, what damage can they do to a body. And that doesn't, I mean, it can be a human, it can be an animal, and it can be a plant. It doesn't matter. Everything is affected. As a matter of fact, these cosmic rays are so powerful that they can go into the core of our planet and link up with the strangelets that CERN is producing and turn our Earth into a neutron star and go...
That's dubgasm right there.
That's how powerful these cosmic rays are. And people think, oh, they're invisible, I don't have to worry about them. Well, you do. And so there are different foods and supplements that you can take to provide layers of protection for yourself. And these are things that you probably have, foods in your spices, different things, supplements that you might take that will protect you against the different types of radiation. It also will help protect you against, if there was, God forbid, a nuclear war. If you have, like, hot peppers, the Japanese discovered that if you have hot peppers on board, you would not uptake the radiation. So that was kind of interesting. So I knew that for a long time. So that's kind of what the book is about. It's done in alphabetical order, and the supplements are separate than the foods. And there's pictures and different tips about growing it yourself so that you can have cosmic ray protection. Another thing that it does protect you against to some degree is 5G. So it doesn't matter the type of radiation it is. What you want to do is be consuming foods and supplements that will protect you. The people that are going to die first are going to be the people that eat fast food and processed foods. And I have one person, it must have been my show. I have a weekly radio show. Mm-hmm. And he said, he was listening to my show and I got to that part and he was literally putting a frozen pizza in his mouth. Oh, wow. And it just dropped to the plate. And it made an impression, and God bless him, because he will be protected now, and his family will, and those he knows. So,
well, see, that's great when you're talking about an escape plan, because you know, if I'm running, all I got to do is outrun them 400 pounders from Walmart, man. I mean, you know, if the aliens are hungry, they're gonna be some good eating back here. But if they're in the mood to kill somebody, they're gonna catch them first. So, you know, I try to stay in shape myself. So like you say, they're kind of on the first, they're on the cutting edge. Get it? The cutting edge. By the way, there was a Twilight Zone episode called To Serve Man.
The what? Now,
there was a Twilight episode. It was called To Serve Man. Did you ever watch it?
You know what? If I saw it, I'd probably remember it. But well, the scenario, my mind is wrapped in the what's going on now.
My mind's wrapped in all kind of crazy stuff. Okay, so the aliens come down.
Okay.
And they're going to help. They're going to help out humans. Now, really, that's not too far off today, because there's so many. In fact, I think there's new Tic Tac videos coming out of UFOs coming out pretty soon. They said it's like 10 minutes long. So be ready for that. I'm waiting for that. Somebody's going to release them. I just read it's going to be the other day. It's coming out. But anyway, so they're coming down and they have a meeting with world leaders. Sounds like a reasonable plot. And they bring technology. And so everybody's happy. And so they're, you know, they got the cure for cancer. They got free energy. You know, they're going to, you know, fix various diseases. And then they decide, the aliens decide, hey, maybe y'all want to come up to our planet and visit us. Visit us. We come visit you. We bring good gifts. Why don't you come up? And so everybody's signing up. They want to go on a spaceship with the aliens, right? And the aliens gave the humans a book. Well, they couldn't decipher the book. You know, they're working to find out what it is. Nobody knows what it is. And then, so the scientist, one of the scientists that's working with aliens, he wants to go, and he's walking up the plank there, up to the, into the spaceship, because he's going to go for a ride. All of a sudden, his assistant comes running with the book, and she says, I've translated it. And he said, what is it? She said, it's a cookbook, and it says, To Serve Man. See, they thought they were coming to serve man. They were coming to serve man. So yep. I'm just saying. But, you know, if they hit one of them gnarly 400 pounds from Walmart, they're going to have some really bad indigestion there. And that's just the way my mind works, Celestia. You have to be ready for it when you come on this program. But, hey, Absolutely. You are in high demand. And I understand you're going to be on Coast to Coast.
I am.
When's that going to happen?
That's this Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night. 1 to 3 my time, which is mountain time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what time it is for anybody else around the world. So,
wow. How exciting is that? How long did they give you?
2 hours.
Wow. You're going to be on 2 hours?
Yeah.
With old George Norrie? Hey, man, ask him if that's his real hair color for me, will you? Okay, no, don't do that.
I've actually met George.
Oh, how's he doing?
I've been on this show before, so.
Okay.
I mean, he's a nice gentleman.
He is. I'm thinking he's wearing Grecian Formula 400, man, because that's what. Anyway, let's move on. All right, hey, here's another question for you. Have you encountered Jesus?
Absolutely. At 4 years old.
Oh, let's hear that story.
So my family was Jewish, and most of them were killed in the Holocaust, and because of that. My parents walked away from faith, and my neighbor invited me to Vacation Bible School, where I promptly accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at 4, and then proceeded to share the gospel with everyone. And that didn't go over so well with my Jewish family, but, you know, it's just the way it was. And so I've been blessed to walk with him ever since.
Mm. Now, have you had any visitations?
Visitations, supernatural by aliens visitations, or angels?
Yeah, angels, demons, Jesus.
No demons.
Visions? Have you had visions?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, have you had any visions of some of these cataclysmic events we've been talking about tonight, Celeste?
Yeah. But then it's hard to know if, you know, some of this was I had knowledge of because of my dad, you know. But yes, I did. My most poignant one was a nuclear war and everyone running and screaming. That's when I was in San Diego. Hmm. I've had some pretty interesting dreams, visions of what is to come. And then when the Lord is very tender and gentle. And so like 2 years ago, he started me on this path of thinking, you know, preparing me for this time and this season in my life. And I got to say, I'm very logical and meticulous. And one minute I was at creation and the next minute I was at the end and in between. And then there were the gods, the pagan gods, and there were the elements. And I kind of felt like a ping pong ball. And as a incident commander, I, you know, manage disasters. That's what you do. And it was hard for me to get my mind around it. And so I know it's going to be really hard for everybody to wrap their mind around some of the information that's they're going to be seeing in the news and presented. But the Lord is giving us this opportunity to prepare our hearts and maybe prepare physically if that's what he wants you to do. But also to enlarge the tent stakes of our mind so that, you know, we've got this comfort zone that we like. And right now he's trying to burst that and enlarge that tent of your mind so that you can know that these cataclysms are coming. And it's not the end. I mean, we will live on. It's just, where are you going to live on? Are you going to live on in heaven with God and Jesus? Are you going to live in the eternal flames of hell? I mean, it's a choice. There isn't a middle. Those days are probably over for all of us.
Well, Celeste, I'll tell you what, ma'am. I'm going to share with you a lucid dream I had years ago. I don't think I've ever said on this show, but I feel kind of inspired just to kind of share it with you. I was in a church. It was a dream situation there. So I was in a church and it was filled with people. And then I heard this large, like a horn blowing. And as I looked, the people, they were all getting upset because it was kind of interrupting the thing. And it was loud. So everybody's looking around wondering what's happening. And then a wind comes in through the walls and comes up the aisle, and sort of the wind just kind of spread out. And some people were upset with it, and other people, they seemed like their countenance was enlightened and their expressions were very joyful, and their smiles were illuminating, and others weren't that way. And then I was out from that church floating in the air, and I looked to my right and I saw what can only be described as the heavens unrolling like a scroll. Now, I'm not trying to make that fit the scripture. I'm just saying that's what I saw. It unrolled like a scroll, and I saw Jesus coming with on a horse, which I wouldn't expect. I always thought that was a descriptive of something else. And then there were a lot of people coming with him, coming down. And I look over at the church, and then the wall dissolved. The whole wall just dissolved, and I could see everybody in there. And some people came running out, sort of like they were going to meet him, and others started running away. And So that was my vivid dream there, and I really don't think I've shared that with anybody. But I thought, wow, I don't know. Does our mind sometimes formulate something like that because we've read it, or is it a revelation and it's a confirmation of what is to be?
I think it's a revelation. So I'll share one of my more vivid ones. So I was at my mom's, and the Lord woke me up at midnight, and he said to pray. And I kind of was in that half awake, half asleep state. And I was with my pastor at the time, and we went into this dark cave, and there were millions and millions of white candles, fat white candles. And it struck me, I thought to myself, well, with all these millions and millions of candles, why isn't this cave aglow? You know, why is it so dark in here? And so, of course, we went into, you know, how caves are, there's another cavern. And so we went into the other chamber, and there was a crescent table and chairs, and there was Satan and some of his demonic, I don't know what they are, what their hierarchy is, but three on each side. And when he spoke, so it's the pastor and I, and there's no candles in here, it's just the pastor and I. When Satan spoke, it was a tsunami of condemnation, judgment, and accusation. But it was not only that, it was a physical tsunami. So there was a wall of water, but there was also this condemnation. And so it was on the spiritual realm, but it was also in the physical realm. And I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and he did not. And like 2 months later, he was removed from the church for a character unbecoming of a pastor. So,
wow.
And I thought that it was at the time, so just like scripture, I think it was applicable for the situation at hand. But it is also, I've seen it as prophetic for what is to be coming down. And as we get these tsunamis, not only physical, like oceans of water, I'm seeing this tsunami of data, and it's it can crush a person or get them overwhelmed, you know, very easily. What we really have to do is keep our eyes on Jesus. That is our hope in this time. And I hope that everybody's listening does know Jesus. So, because he will, I mean, we may not make it through physically. And actually, with how wicked the world is going to get, do we really want to? You know, there, not only are all these cataclysms in the works, you know, but I attend military conferences and the artificial intelligence and the degree of wickedness and basically the fallen angels coming out of hiding and the giants reemerging. It's really not going to be it's not the place that you and I grew up with. It's, you know, we love our gardens, we love our homes, we love our families, but the things are changing and we don't want it, but it is happening. And we know from prophecy that it will happen. It has to happen. But if we do believe in Jesus, in the end, we'll go into his mansion and be with him for all eternity.
Mm. Well, well said on that. I was listening very intently to that. Celeste, in the political arena, when Trump came into power, all hell broke loose. And it seemed from there, immediately we had legislatures saying full-on abortions. We had New Jersey saying abortions including birth instead of up to birth, post-birth, that you can deal with that. And, of course, we had so many death threats and, you know, videos and memes about killing the president. There seems to be this anger that has been almost unleashed. And not just the president, but everybody. I mean, if you wear, say, a MAGA hat, and I'm not trying to be political and say, you know, pro-Trump here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is this anger, this evil that has been released. And it's, it kind of reminds me of what the Bible says, the devil is angry because he knows he has but a short time. But in Virginia, there's an ongoing battle against the Second Amendment where they actually said they may send the National Guard out to get people's guns that don't want to surrender them. And now recently in that state, a Democrat representative has suggested that those who are in favor of the Second Amendment have mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's a descriptive. That's what that will be covered under the red flag law. And if you're familiar with the red flag law, it's kind of like that Tom Cruise movie where there's precogs and they convict you for crimes before you commit them because they could see in the future. They know you thought about those. Minority Report is what it's called. It's kind of like that. So by them letting that out of the bag, sort of saying that if you are for the Second Amendment, you have mental illness, that sort of goes back just before the 2016 election where this abortion debate has kind of stabilized itself to you know, okay, people kind of generally accepted, you know, maybe, and I'm not an expert in, is it second trimester or something like that? It kind of had been settled. But then, all of a sudden, what they were really wanting to do, they just let it out. They want open borders. They want unlimited abortions and these kinds of things. What I'm suggesting is the idea that they would say that you have a mental illness for believing in the Second Amendment, which is what's keeping a lot of evil at bay in the United States, which we're going to need that Second Amendment when some of the things you're talking about start coming to pass. They are letting out the bag. In other words, how far they want to go is way further than that. And this, like you see my defining line, what I'm saying is about pre-2016, what they were really thinking, they were already for climate change, unlimited immigration, no borders, destruction of all family values and that kind of thing. But now it's out. What they were really thinking and planning is out. So I'm just saying, whatever that is much more evil than what we're seeing with just that statement of mental illness.
So just so you know, and we can put some things into context. So when I talk about the collapse of the magnetosphere and when the sun goes silent, like it's going to now in this grand solar minimum, people go crazy. I have a friend that I met at Branson, and he works in the ER, and I texted him and I said, be careful, there's a health alert for cosmic rays. And then he texted me back the next day and he goes, there were a lot of shootings, law enforcement brought them in, and the law enforcement actually had to get into fist fights with these individuals that had been involved in the shootings to bring the peace, because I don't know if they got by. It makes people crazy, and we're going to see more of that. In Chan Thomas's book, he talks about people going crazy like that, violently crazy, extremely violent. Women are very much at risk because they're sexual predators, and he talks about it pretty graphically. So it's a very unsettling time. I think that plays a factor in this whole, what we're seeing with the Democrats and wanting to seize the guns and these crazy things. Like, I mean, saying there's too many people so the planet's tipping over. I mean, where do they even, you know, you have to have a crazy mind to even say something like that. So I get a report every day from where I get a report from.
Okay.
And there, it's all take the guns. They have to have an enemy. So there's, like, right now Russia and Iran are the enemies. And then, of course, there's a lot of climate control. But there's some pretty interesting things in that report that I get daily that let me know what's going on, and then I get it out to everybody in my briefing. So
never reveal your sources.
Well, sometimes I do because I think it's important. People are asked right now to do blind faith, and that's not always a good idea because there's a lot of sources out there that you do not want to get your information from. So,
well, here's a snapshot of Branson. Who's this up here?
Looks familiar.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Celeste Bishop, we're right here at the end of the program. Anything you'd like to say finally to close this thing out?
I just thank you for what you do, and it's been a blessing to be here, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Okay. Well, have fun on coast.
I will.
And see you out in Branson.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. I look forward to it.
Okay, Celeste. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody.